guys. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, and Happy New Year to you. Welcome. And I know that New Year means new resolutions, but I want to get into something a little deeper. Let's just kick off our new year with, you know, the most important stuff that we're going to talk about all year. Let's just get right into it. And maybe you've got a resolution for doing more sit-ups or something. I know I should. You don't need to tell me. But let's go beyond all of that. Let's get into something way, way more important here this morning. All right? You guys ready for that? You come in awake enough to deal with the most important thing ever? All right. Okay, good, good. Well, let's get into it. I know from my experience and, of course, just from doing life together with you guys and talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ that we all have ideas of what our life should look like, okay? Not just a New Year's resolution, but the type of person, the type of Christian we ought to be. We've got like a picture of what that ought to be. I know that this is what God wants for me. This is how I'm supposed to be. But there's things that keep obstructing that from happening in our lives, okay? Or sometimes we get rolling and there's things that stop it from lasting. We face burnout in our walk with the Lord, in our Christian life. It could be getting tired or, you know, being busy. It could simply be laziness if we're really being honest with ourselves. Sometimes it's outside forces, you know. It could be outside opposition or negative people. Well, today we're going to kick off a new series to deal with this. It's entitled Staying Power, all right? Staying Power. And God promises us in His Word, to empower His people to accomplish His will. If He's called you to do something with your life, He will empower you to be able to accomplish His will. He's not going to be the reason you can't get it done, okay? If He's called you to live a certain way for Him and with Him, He's going to empower you to do that. You know, the things that He calls us to, they're things that we can't accomplish on our own. All right, think about that. If we could just accomplish it on our own, we don't need God's power. It's not the things He's calling us to do with our lives. And so we're talking about this power from God, and that's His part. It can't come from us. It comes from God. But this series is about accessing His power for living our lives, for doing God-sized things with the time we have left here on earth without burning out. Okay, that's what this is about, because accessing that power, that's our part. All right, we need to plug in. We need to come and ask and receive it. But God is the only one that can supply it. So today's message, this morning's message in the series, is entitled Everlasting Renewable Energy. All right, now I get tired every day. Every day. And now that I've turned 40, it's earlier on in the day that I get tired and worn out. And to have everlasting renewable energy, and that renewable is important. It needs to be renewed regularly. That, to me, sounds fantastic. Well, Jesus said this to His disciples. This was the night before He went to the cross. He was talking with His disciples, and He said this, and you can help me out when we get to the yellow print. Jesus said, "Remain in Me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." He said it must remain in the vine. "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." So I'm not an herbologist. I'm not even an herbivore. All right? But I know, and you know, that a branch continues to get its life, its sustenance, its growing power from the vine, from the rest of the plant, a branch from the tree, okay? It's got to be connected. When I get my wife flowers, I chuckle a little bit because I think, here, I'm giving you these branches cut off from the bush so you can watch them die. You can watch these pretty things die in front of you. It's kind of a goofy thing, but I still do it because she still likes having fresh flowers in the house. But a branch, we know this, doesn't have within itself everything that it needs to thrive, everything it needs to grow. No, it needs to remain plugged into the source. Jesus says, I am that never-ending source for life, for sustenance, for power, for living and growing. And so what we're going to look at on your outline, you can get those out of your program and get your writing hand limbered up here. We're going to look at four features of this power that we get from a relationship with Jesus. Four features of God's power in our lives. And the first one that you want to write down, it's about the supply. The supply is the gospel. Write down gospel. The New Testament word for gospel is, and I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, don't correct me in front of my friends, Randy. Do it privately later in your office. But it's euangelion, possibly. It's possibly pronounced that way. And it means gospel, or it's often translated as the good news about Jesus, okay? Before we get to the good news, I got to share the bad news this morning, all right? The good news makes the most sense when you fully understand the bad news. And so the bad news is that while God created us to have a never-ending relationship with Him, we unplugged from the relationship, okay? We unplugged by rebelling from our Creator. It started with our first parents. You can read it in Genesis. The creating the relationship is in Genesis 1 and 2, and by chapter 3, our first parents messed it up. They rebelled against God. The Bible calls this rebellion sin. And while we can yell at Adam and Eve all we want, it continues in us today. We see it in our words. We see it in our actions. We see sin even in our thoughts. It's how we hurt ourselves and each other. But all of it is a turning away from our God, from our Creator. Paul, the apostle, put it like this with the Romans in chapter 3, verse 23, said, "Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." That's you, that's me, that's everyone. This isn't me looking down on anybody. We have all unplugged from that relationship. And even worse, I call this the even worse news, okay, is that the penalty for unplugging from a relationship with God, the penalty for sin, is staying unplugged. It's remaining apart from our God. We say, we don't need you, God, we're going to be the boss of our own lives, and the punishment is we end up getting to be the boss of our own lives. And it's miserable without Him. That's here on earth, but it extends into eternity, the Bible says, called hell. Enter the good news. Now we need some good news. The good news is this. The gospel is, the Apostle Paul, he wrote it really well in 1 Corinthians 15. This is him writing to a church, and he's reminding them of the gospel that he taught them years earlier when he planted the church. And this is actually a creed about Jesus that Paul received himself shortly after his conversion. That means this teaching that we're going to read, this gospel message about Jesus, it even was around before even Paul was a Jesus follower. All right? This dates back within years, maybe even months after Jesus' resurrection. This is what Paul wrote. He said, and you can help me again in the yellow. That's going to be a theme today. If you're not familiar with our process here at Stony, you help with the yellow print. Paul wrote this. He says, "By this gospel, you are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And it goes on that He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, that's the Apostle Peter, and to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. He's like, go talk to them, question them. If you don't believe me, go talk to one of these 500 that all saw Him together at the same time, risen from the dead. And He says, though some have fallen asleep, He means they've died, but they'll be raised again. So this is the gospel, guys. This is the power supply that's been handed down to us through the centuries. In its simplest form, if you want to write down a way to remember it, some key words here on your outline, it goes like this. Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross, and He arose again. It's important to understand what each of these words mean. Lord means Jesus is God. That's what Lord means. He is God. He is the second member of the Trinity, God the Son. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ that God's people Israel were waiting for. We learned about this during our Carols You Thought You Knew series when we talked about O Come Emmanuel. Jesus was the Messiah that the people of Israel were longing for, that even the world was waiting for, and he became a human being. He revealed to us what God was like, and then he died on the cross. Now, dying on the cross it's the most painful, most humiliating, it's literally the most excruciating death a person can face. But even worse for Jesus, right there on the cross, we're taught that Jesus suffered that separation from God the Father in our place. While he was on the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, remember, we were separated, and that was our punishment for eternity. Jesus took it himself there on the cross for us. Our King died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. And then Jesus arose from the dead. When Jesus arose from the dead, he proved that he was who he claimed to be, God Almighty. When Jesus arose from the dead, he proved that he beat death for anyone who would trust in him as Lord and Savior. Paul notes that there's these hundreds of eyewitnesses to this event. Hundreds of eyewitnesses to Jesus, people who knew him and saw him before he was crucified, people who ate with him and were with him regularly and saw him die. They see him raised to life. Many of these people who claimed to see Jesus risen, that they were willing to die themselves. Many of them did die themselves because they really saw Jesus risen. Jesus' own disciples, they watched him die. Almost all of them from far away because they ran away. But they were terrified after losing their teacher. But now at the time Paul is writing this, they're emboldened with world-changing power after seeing their Lord risen bodily from the dead. Paul writes it like this in Romans 1:15. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel has the power to raise us from the dead. The gospel has the power to give us a fully fueled, world-changing life. The gospel has the power to give us a relationship that is never-ending with our Creator, despite the fact that we unplugged from that relationship. It has the power to bring us back from the dead and reunite us with God. But there's still the matter of number two on our outline, and that's how to plug in. So the supply is there. God has supplied the way back to him. He has supplied the power for resurrection in our lives, the same power that turned scared disciples into world-changing evangelists. He's put it out there, but we need to plug in. And how do we do that? To put it simply, we come to Christ. Come to Christ. This is our response to Jesus. After the apostle Peter, all right, he was like Jesus' top apostle. He was put in charge after Jesus' earthly ministry. And he gave the first public gospel presentation. And the crowd answers back here in Acts chapter 2. We read about it. They say, what shall we do? All right, they just heard the gospel. They just heard about what God did for them, what Jesus did, and who he is. They say, what should we do? And it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter calls out to the crowds to take action. They need to do something. All right, they need to plug in. He tells them to repent. That means to turn away from their sins, from living for themselves, and to turn themselves completely over to Jesus. That's what repenting means. I turn away from living for myself, and I turn to completely living for Jesus, surrendered to him. Excuse me. They showed this then by being baptized in Jesus' name. This is how they showed that we've done this. We've decided to turn away from ourselves and turn toward Jesus. And they were baptized in Jesus' name. And it says that those that did this were promised the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, Scripture teaches, and fills him or her with power to live with God and for God. We get the Holy Spirit when we plug into the gospel message. And so the choice is up to us. The power, that's God's part, but plugging in is our part. God will not do that for us. He will not force us to do anything. He will not force us to love him. He wants us to make that decision. And what does that look like to come to Christ? Again, I try to put it in a simple phrase for you here. It's to trust in Jesus. You can write this down as Lord and Savior. And again, every one of these words is important, so let's talk about them a little bit. Just make sure we understand what we mean by it. Trust. That word trust doesn't just mean to believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. It means that you personally are entrusting yourself to him as your Lord. Now, Lord means God, the boss, in charge. You and I, we're not in charge of ourselves anymore. We have sworn our allegiance to God Almighty, to Jesus. That's what Lord means. And Savior means we are entrusting that he paid the penalty for us on the cross. He saved us from the penalty of our sin so that I don't have to rely on my goodness, which, thank God, that I can rely on Jesus' goodness and his payment on the cross for my sin to be reconciled to God and to have everlasting life. This is the way. This is the only way to be reconciled to God, to receive the Holy Spirit and the power to live with God and for God. It says it like this at the beginning of the Gospel of John. It says, to all who believed in him, Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're here this morning and you've never put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, my prayer today is not one person would leave here without becoming a child of God today. Would you throw yourself at Jesus' feet? Would you pledge allegiance to Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life and trust yourself to him? If you need to talk with somebody, maybe you've got some questions or you still need something clarified or something, we've got our pastoral prayer team. They're going to be down here after the service, and they would love to talk with you. They're here every week. Whether somebody comes or not, they're here every week ready to talk with you. And so if you need to talk with somebody, do it today. All right, let's go further. We're going to go deeper now into this teaching, because if you've been around Stony for more than 1 week, then you've heard the gospel message, because we get it in at every service. That we just really laid into it a little bit more this morning. But we're going to go even further, and we're going to look at the third feature of God's power, and this is how to keep current. All right, I'm keeping that current motif there, so I'm talking about electrical current power, okay, not keep current like up to date on what's the latest in the gospel, man, you know. No, that power in your life. And the answer for the believer that wants to keep that current in his or her life is to come to Christ. Chris, did you mess up? That was our last point. That's what you might be thinking. Yeah, that was already the last. No, I didn't. You see, coming to Christ isn't just a one-time event. And it isn't just a message for the non-Christian to hear. It's a message for every one of us. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. We need to come to Christ regularly. We have a process here. We call it the 4C process here at Stony Creek Church. It's our strategy for making more and better followers of Jesus. That's our mission, is to do that, to make more followers of Jesus and to help them grow to be better. And the way we do it, we kind of made it simple to get our heads around it. We made these four C's as steps in the process. You see them up here behind me. The first one is to come to Christ. That's what we've been talking about. And then you've got connect with Christian living, commit to church, and coach other Christians. And that's as you're growing. And this is a good process, and I think it helps identify the discipleship process in the life of every believer. But there is a pitfall that a lot of Christians can fall into with this process, especially longtime Christians, mature Christians, Christians that are actively serving in ministry, maybe attending or even hosting a small group, Christians that are giving regularly. This is the pitfall that we can sometimes fall into. We treat come to Christ like a one-time event in our past. Okay, I've done that, and now I can move on to other things. You know, and so we do move on to other things, and that's good. We should be progressing in these four C's. So you do. You connect with Christian living, getting into reading your Bible, and you're checking that list off. We've got those plans out there, and you're plugging into ministry and serving. That's great. You do these things, and yet we still run into these times where we feel worn out. We still run into these times where we're like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm serving, I'm giving, I read my Bible. You know, I've cleaned up my language. We talk about Jesus more around the dinner table with the family. What's going on? I still feel run down. I still feel low on this everlasting renewable energy we're talking about that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, I think that it's because we're treating coming to Christ like a one-time event, and we're forgetting to go back and surrender to Jesus every single day of our lives. But the power and the salvation that comes from the gospel in our lives, it's not just one time. On your outline, I've got this little section under this point. It says salvation is more than an event in your past. And I want to talk about this for a minute because at least I need to get it through my thick head. And so if you're like me, I'm not going to say the same thing about you because you're going to walk away insulted instead of inspired. But I know I need to get through my thick head. So let's see if it blesses somebody else here. So first, there's three different aspects of salvation, a past, a present, a future, and I want to talk about them. I got these from Rick Warren. So when you're like, wow, those they all start with the letter P. That's really clever, Chris. Yeah, that's not me. All right. But the first is this. I was saved from the penalty of sin. So you write that down. This is an event in the believer's past. So a quick verse to exemplify this is Ephesians 2. It says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And you can, if you got your Bible this morning, you can underline have been saved there. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a done deal for you. If you really have committed your life to Christ, if you really have come to Christ, this is an event in your past. But there's more to this salvation that Jesus has for you. There's more to the gospel than just a one-time thing. The next thing is, I am being saved from the power of sin. There's still a fight and rescue mission going on in your life and in my life today. Jesus is still performing a fight and rescue mission on us. In 1 Corinthians, it says it like this, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know what to underline there. I guess I have it underlined, so I made it really clear for you. Are being saved. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives, and we need to surrender to God's power, the gospel, daily. Daily. We need to do this to overcome sin's oppression in our lives, in this sinful world around us. If you're feeling run down, you're feeling like you've failed, or you've lost today, or this week, or last year, you feel like you've been beaten, come to Christ all over again. Not to be saved from the penalty of your sin. That's already happened for you. But surrender to Him today, all over again, to be saved from the power of sin in and around your life. whether it's your own shortcomings or the opposition of a fallen world. If Jesus is your king, is Jesus your king? If Jesus is your king, register, show up, sign in for duty today. You're my king today, Jesus, just like you were when you saved me November 20th, 1996. You're still my king today, and I'm checking in, reporting for duty. And finally, even when things that are out of our control in the world around us are just, you know, discouraging us and pressing down on us, we need to remember this third thing, and that is, I will be saved from the presence of sin. One day, Jesus, when he is going to save us from the presence of sin, Jesus said this to his disciples. He was talking to them about facing extreme persecution. Things like, I'm sure you've heard the news about the shooting in Texas last Sunday. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters at that church as they're healing and the families. You may have heard, just the day after Christmas, there were 11 Christians beheaded in Nigeria for their faith. Jesus was talking about this kind of persecution was going to face Christians. Stuff I've never faced. I'm just being honest with you. I've never faced 10%, 1% maybe even of that kind of persecution. But Jesus said this, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus will deliver us, promises to deliver us in the end. And we know his promises are good because he arose from the dead. So we know that we can trust in him, that in heaven we will be saved from the presence of sin forever. How do we stand firm between now and then? By coming to Christ, surrendering to him daily, maybe several times per day. I've had days and even weeks where, you know, things were just kind of hard, just extra hard. I was extra down, and I needed to surrender to Jesus basically hourly, like just re-surrender, get down on the floor on my knees and say, Jesus, you are Lord. And I am feeling beaten right now. And I had to trust that he's going to save me from the presence of sin. We're going to do this together with communion. You see, I invite the elders and Maya's going to play the keys to come up and prepare for that. We're going to do this before we finish our outline, and then I'll wrap that up quickly here at the end. But communion, I wanted to put it in right here because this is a remembrance of Jesus' broken body and poured out blood for us. Okay, that's what communion is. And by coming to this table, we're re-surrendering to Jesus all over again. Paul says it like this when he's giving instructions about communion. He says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. We ought to spend some time in prayer and confession and reflection. And so while Maya plays a little bit here of some reflective music, while the elders are passing around communion, let's spend this time coming back to Christ today. Wherever you're at, whether you're on fire this morning before you left for church, or got on fire here during praise, or it's been a while, would you surrender to Jesus as your King, your Lord, your Savior all over again, and prepare to reflect on what he did for you here for communion. One quick note, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you can let the elements pass you by and don't say something about yourself that isn't true. That's totally, totally fine. That's good. But even better would be to trust in Jesus for the first time. Come to Christ for the first time this morning, and then this table is for you. All right, let's spend a little time coming to Christ together. Scripture says that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember our Lord together. Now we're going to do the same with the cup. Remember, this is Jesus' blood shed for us. Let's spend some time in prayer and reflection. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember our Lord. surrender to Jesus every day, so that even if we feel beaten at the end of the day, we would be able to get back up renewed to live for you and with you every single day. And God, as we're doing that, I pray that we would go out and invite others to know Jesus like we get to know Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next Sunday.